Psalm 12. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. And our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? And if you would, I would ask you to underline those five words. Who is Lord over us? I put up a picture of a potter and some clay. Jeremiah chapter 18 describes the nation of Israel as the clay. God is the potter. And as God begins to mold and shape Israel and the people through the trials, through day-to-day struggles and whatever comes their way, they begin to fight back. They begin to argue and say, why are you doing this to us? And God says, am I not the potter and you are the clay? Should I not be allowed to mold and shape your life? Do I not know what I'm doing? And yet, here in Psalm 12, it says, godly people seem to be dying off, and what's left are people who say, who's in charge of me? Who's going to try and mold my life? It's a very, very unusual question. And really, when they're saying that, who is Lord over us, I take it more of a statement. I take it as an attitude. He's basically saying, don't you dare tell me what I can and cannot do. I don't want any controls. I don't want any restrictions. No one is Lord over my life. That's what that question is stating. Do you know anybody who feels like that? Look in the mirror. You know them very well. These are people who say, I can do as I please, and it is not wrong as long as no one gets hurt. You ever heard that before? How can it be so wrong when it feels so right? Was the message of the 1970s. So those are very strong words, Pastor, you're saying, but it is the attitude absolutely everywhere. This attitude is a pagan philosophy. It's not a Christian philosophy. It is an attitude that just reeks in the universities, in our colleges, in our national schools. You listen to the radio stations, you read modern books, you watch movies. I still can't get over how you watch a movie from the 1940s and you see it reeking with such an attitude of defiance against God and against authority. And you think, back in the 1940s, they must have been moral. Not in Hollywood. Parents use it in child training. From the time of Benjamin Spock, Spock said this, and he's not Star Trek Spock, by the way. Spock said, let the child alone, he will find his own way. Yet the Bible says the child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. To 99% of all parents today, this is the philosophy that says, don't make your kid do anything they don't want to do. That is evil. And parents wonder, why do I have a nightmare in my home? Because the Bible says, woe unto the country whose child is the king. You do not put little junior in charge. Governments use it in their crowd control. Basically, governments change their laws to let people do whatever they want as long as no one gets hurt. And they think nothing will happen. And yet our nation, as our laws become less and less restricted, our nation becomes more and more of hell on earth. Amen. Don't you tell me nobody gets hurt. It's my body, and do what I want. Nobody's getting hurt. We all reap. It's called, and I saw this, and it shook me to my foundation. I said, I don't want to preach this, because I don't think I can preach it right. I don't think I can help like it needs, because this is something, it's like, I don't want to hurt anybody. When you deal with what I'm about to talk about this morning, you're dealing with the very foundation of how we think. It's not what we believe. It's how we naturally live. And you come in with a message like this and you think, it can't be like that. But I couldn't escape it. I have to tell you what this book says about authority and about submission and about the lordship of Jesus Christ. Because I want to talk tonight, or this morning, about how far we're going to let God go in our lives. How much are we going to let Him work on us? How much is He allowed to change and mold and shape us? Back in the 1960s and 70s, there was a big promotion of an idea that happened at the beginning of the century. It was a phrase that was promoted called, "Do as thou wilt." Sounds almost biblical. Do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. It was coined by a man under satanic influence, and he'll tell you that. He used heroin, he used all kinds of drugs to be the recipient of a lot of things. His name is Aleister Crowley. His mother called him the Antichrist. And his mother was born again. She saw just how wicked her son had become. Aleister Crowley, you do not want to read his life story because you'll come away pleading the blood of Jesus Christ over all the things that you learned about how wicked this man was. But he coined this phrase 100 years ago, and there's a flaw in it. Take your Bible now and let's go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Aleister Crowley popularized something that already was around. He didn't invent it, but he popularized a philosophy that said, you first. Think of yourself. Worry about number one. Do as you want. As long as you don't hurt anybody, it's okay. Love, lust, do anything you want, because that's the whole of the law. John chapter 8. And the idea is this. Back in the 1960s, they began with this idea that, hey man, peace, love, we don't want war, we just want to make love, we just want to have fun. And they thought that they were free. The hippie movement. They thought, we're free from the shackles, man. I want to show you John chapter 8, verse 44. There was a flaw in their thinking. They thought that when they rebelled, when they did their own thing, when they ran away from home, when they resisted authorities, and when they turned their back on God and on the Bible, they thought, I'm finally free. Look at your Bible, John chapter 8, verse 44. Ye are of your father and the lusts, look at that, the intense desires of your father, ye will do. So who's lusting in a person who is actually lusting after an ungodly situation, after a girl or a guy? Who's actually lusting? I don't think anybody would enjoy being possessed of the devil. And yet anybody who thinks, I don't have to do what my parents tell me to do, I don't have to do what the Bible says to do, I don't have to do what anybody tells me to do, is only doing the lusts of Satan. And the lust of your father, ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Don't you tell me it doesn't hurt when you try to be free. It doesn't hurt anybody. And he abode not in the truth. He rejected it because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. People believe throughout history that freedom is being able to do what you want. But there is no freedom being a puppet of Satan. Can you agree with that? How would you answer this question? Who is Lord over us? How would you answer that? I want you to have a solid answer for that. These people draw at nigh to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me answer. I don't want a hypocritical answer. Oh, Jesus is Lord. Oh, really? Let's find out if He is Lord of your life. Once you've got that answer, once you've allowed God to humble you and get you soft again, nobody in this room who needs to be hard toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Once he's got you soft, I want you to see what he can do with the rest of your life. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we've looked at a lot of different things over the years, but the ones about the heart are the hardest. Lord, we'd like to talk about heaven. We'd like to talk about loving one another, anything, but it all hinges on our heart relationship with you and how we allow you to work and how easy it is for us to resist the Holy Ghost. And we need to be very aware where it comes from, why it happens, and how we've got to defeat it. I pray for some victories this morning. I don't pray that we learn anything. I pray we live something this morning. Whatever we learn is no good unless we live it. Please. May the fruit of this message be changed lives and changed homes, so that we can finally get back to changing our world. In Jesus' name, amen. Where does pagan thinking come from? Ever wondered that? Ever wondered where it came from, the idea that, you know, life is about me, life is about what I want, nobody's caring about me, nobody shook my hand, nobody fixed me a cup of tea, nobody said hello to me, people just passed right by me. You know what you are? You're thinking of yourself. I know how you feel. But there is something wrong with us when we have this idea of, I should be up there. I can do better than so-and-so. I should have the praise. I think that goes back to a book in the Bible called Isaiah chapter 14, where somebody said, I will ascend to the mount. I will get all the praise that belongs to God. I will be like the Most High. His name was Lucifer. Worry about the I in your conversation. The most of all. Don't worry about them and he and she. Worry about I. Where did it all come from? It first came from Satan. Let's look at his false promise in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Look at his false promise of freedom. Well, where were Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3 at the beginning? They're in the garden. Was it a pretty good life? You guess so. They had everything they could want. There was nothing they lacked. They lived without shame. They lived without embarrassment. They lived without enemy. They would, can you agree with me? They did what they wanted. 24/7, didn't they? God had 47,000 rules. Is that right? He just had one rule. He just had one commandment. Don't eat of that one tree. You can do anything else you want. And the devil comes up and says, Eve, you got a very restricted life. You know that? God is being very cruel to you. Look at you. You are missing out on so much fun. Isn't that how the devil comes? You wake up and you think, man, life is good, until somebody says, man, what a clunker of a car you got. And just the week before, you were like, man, amen, hadn't broken down the last year. Amen? So Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle. You know what that word means? Sneaky. He didn't come out and say, by the way, I'm the devil. No, no, no. He comes up with a most beautiful shape. He was a serpent. You ever notice how politicians talk? They accentuate the words so that you hear the tone of their voice and you don't pay attention to what they're saying. Isn't he a nice man? I like him. You don't care what they say. And so Satan comes along and and he plays along and he gets her attention. Look what it says. He was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman says back unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Sure, we can eat of all of them. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, I can hear the laugh, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as who? Knowing good and evil. Here's the idea. Adam, Eve, God is here. You are here. He has control. Are you listening? You're not equal with him. Therefore, he's got you like slaves. You're doing his control. You're never free until you are at his level. Isn't that what the devil said? You know what? He says, as soon as you eat that, you'll be just like God. Was he telling the truth? He lied. It was a lie. This pagan thinking of, I'm important, I'm missing out, I don't enjoy prayer, I don't enjoy church, I don't enjoy my Bible. You know what you're thinking? You're thinking about your present feelings instead of the reality of eternity and things that are right. You know, somebody doesn't go to school because they feel like it. Amen? I mean, how many of you enjoy going to school? Probably 1 out of 100. The rest of us, it was like we prayed, you know, for a hurricane or something to come through. We didn't go to school because we felt like it. Our parents made us go to school because it was right to do, amen? Somebody says, well, I don't feel like I enjoy this. You got that from the devil. It didn't come from Aleister Crowley. It came from Satan. He promised that you'll be free. You'll be able to do as God is. Secondly, it came from ourselves. You know, people naturally worship what they want. Isn't that true? You ever struggled with covetousness? Do you know why the Bible says covetousness is idolatry? Because when you start to think you have to have that, you can't think of anything but that. Let's take our Bibles. Let's leave Genesis. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I hope you have your Bible. Look in your Bible. Let the Word of God. I'm not going to be able to convince you, but God can. Please, let the Word of God sink into your hearts. Philippians chapter 3, verse 19. Start in verse 17. Philippians 3, 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have for us for an example. Mark them that aren't following like we are. Look at verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even what? The way people live caused Paul to weep. And he says, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their what? And whose glory is in their shame. They get excited about how low they can go, who mind only earthly things. Go back to chapter 2 and verse 21. One page back, 2:21. Paul is a bit discouraged because a lot of Christians in his day were falling away. And he said this in Philippians 2:21. For all seek, what are the next two words? Not the things which are Jesus Christ. You need to put a star by that and go, Lord, is that I? Isn't that what Jesus said when he said, one of you tonight will betray me? You know what every one of the disciples immediately said? Lord, is it going to be me? Could it be me? That's a good attitude. But if you sit there and you go, oh, I'm not in that category, you're missing the whole message. You better be quick to ask, is he preaching at me? Is my belly, is what I want and what I live for, is that my God? Go to Romans. Go back to the left. Go to Romans chapter 16. Romans 16 and verse 17. Mark 16, 17 says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such, serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own what? Isn't that a strange way to talk? But it's true, isn't it? They're serving their own belly. And by good works and fair speeches, oh, they can talk good. They deceive the hearts of the simple. It came from ourselves. People naturally worship their want. Most people resist authority. Most people reject, especially God's authority. Most people hate to commit themselves. In 1 Kings chapter 18, you have the story of Elijah going up on the Mount Carmel. And he draws the whole nation of the northern part of Israel up to that mountain. And at that time in Israel's history, everyone was worshiping Baal. and he set up an altar and he said, I want to challenge the God of your God, Baal, which by the way means Lord, just not the Lord of heaven, but the Lord of the flies, by the way. Isn't that a weird Lord to be serving? So he said, if Baal be God, then let's serve him. But if Jehovah is God, then let's serve him. And it says this, the people answered him not a word. They wouldn't commit themselves. They wouldn't say, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, they stayed there and they go, oh, I don't know. I don't want to commit myself. Most people hate to commit themselves. You know, it's always been that way. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have turned away. We have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. All we, you're not excluded, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And Jesus came, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's in our nature, folks. It's always been there. And let me tell you, it's not just in our nature, it's in our culture. I don't know if you can see that, but I'll show it to you. I'll explain, this is a concert. Okay? But I'll show you where it's at in just a moment. What feeds this kind of thinking? It's not enough. And really, I compare it to the drink culture that we have today in Ireland, where everybody already drinks. And I always wonder, why do they have to keep putting the ads up there? Why, as we come up to Christmas, do they make a mockery of Christmas and they promote the selling of drink like never before if everybody's already drinking? Doesn't that bother you? Because sin has to be pumped up before, or else people get tired of it sometimes. Amen. And in this world, the devil knows that he cannot lay off the pressure to keep people in rebellion against God because, you know, we get tired of it in our flesh. Amen. But there's something that feeds this kind of thinking. And I call, and there are entire industries dedicated to feeding self. First one's rock music. Matthew chapter 7. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. And I could give you 100 scriptures about rock music. Who's talking about rock music? Rap music, Eminem, and Madonna, and I don't even go. The kids think I'm slow. No, I'm cleansed. I don't have any desire to remember all the names I used to, before I was saved, we taught in songs. Somebody would say something and I'd try to respond with a phrase out of a song. And then they would respond with another phrase out of a song. We thought we were cool. We were burning out our brains so we couldn't think of anything but the lyrics of songs. And the lyrics were as bad as your texting. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 16 says this. Matthew 7 and verse 16. Ye shall know them by their fruits. You say, is rock music bad? Just look at the few fruits of it. Do men gather grapes of thorns? Do you go to a rock concert to learn how to love your wife more and how to give sacrificially for her? What's the fruit of a rock concert? A good tree. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistle bushes? So even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit, ruined fruit, poison fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cut down, and cast in the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Rock music culture, hey, it bothers me because I was in it, man. But you know, what they do when you have the O2 and what was this thing, oxygen up there? You know what they do? They have to hire extra security, extra overtime, guarda. Why? Because they're not there just having a good time. There are riots that break out. There are people, the music does not instill you to want to go home and pray. The riots, the drinking, the drugs, the fornication, the rebellion are all fruits of the music that people normally listen to and think it's normal to listen to. And I'm going to say, in this church, there are people who just, they flip on the radio at home all day long. They listen to 96 FM and they think it doesn't matter. You live, like Aleister Crowley said, do as thou wilt. And you think it doesn't hurt anybody. And you wonder why your kid cannot read the Bible. You got to get a hold of this thing. You know what? That music, the singing, those kids pick it up. It takes years to unlearn that stuff. You want to curse your kids with the inability to think something honest and pure and decent? Or do you want them every time they see a picture to think something perverted and wicked and ungodly? It's the music that I'm starting off on. Movies, books, entertainment. You know what I've noticed? You watch 100 movies. Not one of them will mention God. If Jesus is ever mentioned, it's a curse. Nobody in the movies, nobody in the sitcoms need God. If they do ever pray before their meal, it is an absolute mockery. You know the movie industry is feeding rebellion. Almost all. I never watched the Titanic, never want to watch the Titanic. I'm one of the few that didn't. By the way, my wife didn't either. But I heard the phrase, and it sold me instantly on why I didn't want to watch the Titanic. I watched the old Titanic, the black and white one. But this new filthy one, with a man stealing another man's engaged wife, the whole principle was follow your what? Heart. Yeah. Isn't that what all the movies are about? Do as thou wilt. That's the philosophy in every movie, in every book, in every magazine. Oprah Winfrey made billions of euros on empowering people to do what they want. The pornography industry. The biggest industry in the world. Did you know this last year, 100 billion euros, just in one year, went to pornography. The statistics in 2007 were every second, 3,000 euros is spent on pornography. Every second. Every second, 28,000 people are viewing pornography at that time. What blew me away, China makes the most money right now on pornography, 25 billion euros a year. China is making the money. Socialist China. Communist China. It's a 100 billion year industry. You know what it is? It's to feed the flesh. It's to allow somebody to sit there and feed himself and herself. And girls up there showing off the flesh is to turn this world into such a cesspool. And they're doing it because they're getting paid and because they get the glory. Let me tell you. It's do as thou wilt. Do you understand where I'm going with this? It's an industry that feeds this thinking. Go to Luke 12. Luke 12. There is a power that comes when you get some money. And you better beware of it. Luke chapter 12. And verse 19. And this is go back to verse 16. Then he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Everything's going great. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I. Notice how many times he says, I. Circle it. This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You know what he's doing? He's taking charge. He says, I know what I'm going to do. It's all about me. I'm so blessed, I don't know what to do with myself. That's what he's saying. Prosperity has a way of making you forget about God, doesn't it? Is having money evil and wrong? No. But isn't it true that most people want to have money so they can finally be free and do what they want? It's a pagan, filthy, wicked way of thinking. You know why you ought to have money? So it can be a blessing. So that you can do something that matters. So that you can actually pay your bills instead of leaning on somebody else. Sick and tired of the government using our money to take care of deadbeats. Scum. Amen. But they are where they're at, in the flats, in the houses, living the way they want, because they believe the lie that, do as I will. I can do what I want. Nobody's being hurt. I'm being hurt. The taxes over the next few years are going to kill us. Because now, no longer the industry is going to pay for those things. We're taxed to pay for these people who are living as they please. And I don't want to pay for it. I can't fight it. But this is the philosophy that's here. But I'm not at the worst. This is normal. This is how people have always been. But what feeds this kind of thinking is modern churches. The worst influence of all are people who claim to be God's people. You would think that Christ's followers would be different. But modern churches are all about making people find happiness. The music and the entertainment in modern churches is astounding. Most, go to John chapter 12. You're in Luke, go to John chapter 12. I've been, and some of you don't sing because you feel you can't sing. Did you know I've never sung because I could sing? And some of you can agree with that. But some of you have this philosophy that I can't sing in the choir. I can't do a special because I can't sing. Did you know you're not supposed to sing because you can sing? Do you know why you're supposed to sing? Because he's worthy. Amen. And the reason why in most churches, this is a picture in a worship service in a church. You can't see, it's a dark thing. The hands raised, the lights, the drum set. They spend more money on the music equipment than they've ever spent on missions. Their sound equipment, the lights. I have seen churches where the lights are flashing and it's a disco while the guy's, quote, giving his little speech just before the music takes back over. It's hypnotic and it's of the devil, folks. Because that, they think that people have to come to some place they feel good at. I didn't get saved because I felt good about myself. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. I got into the Bible because I wanted to know God. I didn't want to live with this brain being dark and being possessed by the devil anymore. And I'll do anything to keep it clean. Amen. Modern churches. A man did a study. His name's Tim Fisher. He wrote a book called The Battle for Christian Music. It's brilliant. And he said this. Music is never used in Scripture as a means of reaching the lost. And yet 90% of all, quote, churches that are trying to win the lost use music, not preaching, to win people. You say, Pastor, you have a strange philosophy here. According to who? I think you're strange. Amen. Amen. I think if you miss the drum set, if you miss the lights, you're strange. See, that's very offensive. Only because I love you and I want you to think this thing through and go, you know what? Church has become entertainment instead of convicting. And if church is convicting, then we've done our job. You know what a contemporary Christian musician said? He said, we take things too seriously, man. He's a Christian. He said, we take things too seriously, man. If you want to hear preaching, go to church. Come to my concert. We're going to have a good time. He's a Christian. He has four albums out. I won't even mention his name. His four albums out. He has over 4,000 words in those four albums, and he has the name of Jesus once. The rest of them, you couldn't figure. I know what he's talking about. You couldn't figure he was God. He was a Christian at all. Because he's only interested. He is a do as thou wilt person. Modern churches. Modern churches. You know what they do? They tell people it doesn't matter how you live. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you watch. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians. Did I have you read that? No, I didn't. Go to John 12. I forgot to read this one. John 12, 42. John 12, 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on Jesus. Amen? But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess them. Oh, no, no. Lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the, talk to me, the praise of men more than the praise of God. Take your Bible now. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 22. 1 Thessalonians. If you get to Hebrews, you've gone too far. If you get into Revelation, you've gone way too far. 1 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22 says this, abstain from all appearance of evil. You know, Christians are weird. Sometimes I won't do something just because it doesn't look right. Say, well, it's not wrong. I don't know. I was sharing with somebody yesterday, my family and I have never watched The Simpsons. Now, you're already thinking you're weird. We never watched it. Because I just saw, the one time we sat there and watched a bit of it, I saw what it was, and I went, we're going to stay away from the appearance of evil. They made a mockery of God. They made a mockery of the family. And I said, nope. How many, I won't even ask. Some of you, we sat down, we rented Free Willy, the first original one with the whale, you know, that they tried to, Free Willy, probably very innocent. Well, we rented it, sat down, we're watching with the kids 6 or 7 minutes, and the kid, I guess it was his stepdad, grabs his baseball and throws it at his stepdad. And I went, nope, we're not going to watch that. Because it was the appearance of evil. I don't know how it turned out. I'm sure it was really a nice story. I'm sure the whale lived and the kid grew up and I don't know. But you know, Christians are supposed to be a little bit different, amen? I don't need to subject my kids to learn how to treat their dad. I don't want to teach my kids more than they already know, amen? Modern churches would show Free Willy. They'll show The Simpsons in church. Say, where are you going? I'm saying, do as thou wilt is even in churches. We ought to be different. Who is Lord over us? Are you listening? Who is Lord in our home? Who is Lord in our life? How far will we let Him change us and mold us? The time will come, Paul said to Timothy, the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers having what? The itching ears is that term that is like a dog who comes along and sits by you and you begin to scratch his ear and you watch his leg going. You know what I'm talking about? And he just loves it and that dog just melts in you. And that's how people are as the televangelists and as the big name preachers begin to just tickle the ear. And, oh, does that feel good? And, oh, yeah. And you see the leg going. Because they love it. And the crowds come. But they're not saved. Modern churches, worldly lifestyles, tickling ears, thinking that how a person lives doesn't matter to God. Go to Romans 6, Romans chapter 6. Do you believe in the grace of God? Amen. Thank God for the grace of God, for by grace are you saved through faith. Romans chapter 6. Wow, I'm glad for the grace of God. Start back in verse chapter 5, in verse 20. Romans chapter 5, verse 20, moreover, the law entered, and we needed the law, that the offense, my sins, might abound. Wow, I didn't know I sinned so much. But where sin abounded, what did much more abound? Grace did much more abound. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, sin was killing us, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, chapter 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? What's the conclusion of this whole thing? Shall we continue in sin because grace abounds? Shall we continue? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? A lot of people misunderstand the grace of God. When you were a little kid and you stole that first pack of chewing gum or you told that first lie, you thought you were going to die. You thought a lightning bolt would come out of the sky. And because God didn't kill you, you said, oh, I guess it doesn't matter. Feeds this kind of thinking. Those are all industries. The amount of money that comes into these churches, the amount of money that people are trying to live for, and they're building empires, and they have no need for God. This, just like that rich man who says, what shall I do? He never once said, God, what will thou do? He says, no, it's what I want. The pornography industry, the movies, the books, the entertainments, the rock music is an industry to feed you. No need for God. God need not apply. It gets to the point where we need to start realizing Satan is Lord of too many lives. I hope you'll agree. Some of you think, because you have a religious act, you're able to put on a show. You come and you go to your church, and then you head for the pub right after, and you spend hours there at the pub. Some people pray a few prayers at a funeral and then they go home and download such filth and wickedness they have no words to describe such sin. I've seen people who say, God bless, but they never bless God a day in their life. All the religion in the world and all the prayers in the world have never changed one person or saved one soul. Only surrender to Jesus Christ has ever changed a life. You may be born again on your way to heaven by the grace of God. But Satan still rules what many of you do. Where you go, what you think, what you listen to on the radio, what friends you hang with, and you're looking at me going, you are not going to tell me what to do. You know what? I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to tell you what he says to do. I think that's all I've ever been. And if I get in your face, I'm like the doctor telling you the medicine will hurt, but it will help. No doctor ever cured anybody. He just helped you out. And I intend to do the same. You say, how can it be possible that a born-again child of God could be ruled by Satan? Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. How could a born-again, blood-bought son of God be infested with demons and with satanic thinking? Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. What was he talking about? Yeah, talking about the coming crucifixion. He's going to Jerusalem not to be king. What did the disciples think would happen when he entered into Jerusalem? What did they actually try to do? Remember, they took their coats off, they put it down the street, people were lining up, they laid down palms, they put Jesus on this colt, just as it was predicted in Zechariah, and he rides in on that colt, and he comes in Jerusalem, and what did everybody believe? The king is here. And Jesus said, I'm going to Jerusalem, and you're going to kill me. Look at the next verse. Verse 22. Nope. Where am I? I'm in the wrong verse. There, 22. Then Peter took him. He grabbed him and he began to rebuke him saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Now, you have to commend Peter. Peter is wanting to defend him. Over my dead body. Nobody's going to touch you, Jesus. I like a friend like that. Anybody want to sign up? I take anybody as a friend like that. Verse 23, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not. You don't enjoy, you don't look forward to the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Peter is an example of somebody who walking with Jesus, following Jesus, loved Jesus, and had demonic thoughts. How about another one? Go to Luke chapter 9. You're in Matthew. Go to Luke chapter 9 in verse 51. Luke 9 and 51. It came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. So he's going to go to heaven, but he's going to go via the cross. Amen. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him. They didn't want Jesus there because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. He wasn't going to stay. Verse 54. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they got mad. They said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, know ye not what manner of spirit ye are of? Do you know where you got that attitude? Jesus asked this question of his disciples in Luke 6:46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? It's a good question. How can this be? Number one, because simply people, whether you're saved or lost, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved, folks. They're still doing what they want, as thou wilt. You know what Jesus said? Not as I will, but as thou wilt. Isn't that the exact opposite? The Christian life is always exactly opposite of how we naturally live and think. I figured out, I found something out. I said, Satan, without you even know it, demands us to worship him. And he'll use idols, he'll use anything to get our attention off of Jesus Christ, to get worship on him. But did you know, Satan may demand my worship, but Jesus earned my worship. Didn't he? Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, and let's just stay a little while. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians 2 and verse 5 says this. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. When it says mind, it means way of thinking. Simply means think like he did. Who, being in the form of God, wouldn't you think he'd go around showing off? I mean, if you were Bill Gates, would you worry about a tip? Would you sit down for the meal and would you worry about paying for it? Wouldn't you show off and say, by the way, and I'm Bill Gates. Guy owns Microsoft. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I mean, he never took anything away from God being God, but he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of us, of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and even things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is, he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ earned the right to be Lord of our lives by his perfect life. You never met anybody like Jesus Christ. Mother Teresa is a black hole compared to Jesus Christ. You are even darker. Jesus Christ, the only perfect person who ever lived on this life, lived a life on this world. His perfect life earned him the right to be Lord of our lives. That's why Peter, James, John, those disciples, Matthew's making hand over fist money as a tax agent for the Roman Empire. And when he met Jesus Christ and he saw that life, he said, bye. And he followed a perfect life. It earned the right of worship. His substitutionary death. I'll tell you what. I appreciate every one of you. But if I were dying in the hospital and both of my kidneys were dead, and I was on a machine keeping me alive, and somebody came in and gave one of their kidneys to keep me alive, I think I'd love them a lot more. Because they gave something to keep me alive. And what if, in the process, they died and I walked off of that hospital table and I'm walking around and I'm going, I am alive because they sacrificed. You talk about the earning. That the name of that person would always be one of, you're never messing with that name. That person loved me. And they gave themselves for me. I can only just honor them and praise them for the fact they did it for me. That's just a human. How much more Jesus Christ taking our place, and we use his name like a dirty, filthy wash rag. Substitutionary death earned the right of our life. But even beyond that, his impossible resurrection. It's one thing to die. It's another thing to get up. You know why Paul became a Christian? He had heard about the perfect light. He had heard about that cross. He probably was even at the cross. That didn't change him until a living Jesus actually said, I'm alive, boy. And Paul said, Lord, isn't that a good word? What wilt thou have me to do? Amen. That impossible resurrection earned the right for Jesus to be Lord. Amen. He's earned the right to be in charge of our lives. You say, I already know that. Are you living? You know, he's earned the right to be in charge of not only your destiny. I'm glad he reached down to the miry clay and he took somebody that was on a dead end, road to hell. And he changed my destiny and he set me going to heaven. Amen. I like somebody being strong enough to do that. That's what they made Superman out of, you know. Here's an airplane and it's coming down and he picks it up and he turns around and he sets it down. Jesus Christ did that for me. Changed my destiny. Amen. But he didn't just change my destiny. He earned the right to be in charge of my imagination. Amen? The Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. He earned the right so that what goes through that head, I grab it, I go, you don't belong here. And you don't belong here. Amen. He earned the right to be in charge of your mouth. Didn't we read that in Psalm 12? By our lips, we will prevail. Isn't that what people do? They can talk and they can tear and they can attack and they can fight with their lips. But you know what? Jesus is Lord of my mouth. Jesus needs to be allowed to tell you to shut up every once in a while you're talking too much. Amen? Ephesians 4:29 says, let no communication proceed out of your mouth. Oh, it may be in there, but you lock it in. Let no evil communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Psalm 40 verse 8 tells you another thing that he's in charge of, and that's your plans. David said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Joseph had to pray that prayer when he was in prison. David had to pray that prayer while he was a shepherd and his own brothers were out fighting big battles. And later, when he's anointed king, but for 7 years he's running from a man who's trying to kill him, he had to say, I delight to do thy will. Oh, not as I will, but as I. So, David learned to pray that prayer. How about your worries? Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, full of care about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Do you know what the word everything means, Lily? So is there any room for me to worry? Am I going to worry? But I got to realize if he's Lord, all I need to do is pray. All I need is lean on him. Amen? Be careful for nothing. Be full of care about nothing, but by everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. He's in charge of my worries. Amen. I like that. And how about your battles? You know, Romans 12:19 says, very quickly, it says, revenge. Oh, come on, it's revenge. What's the word? Go to Romans 12:19. I'm sorry, I got to find. Yes, vengeance belongeth unto the Lord. Yeah, I'm just trying to think of how it says it. Sorry. Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. Dearly beloved, that's how it starts off. Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. Move out of the way. Amen. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Look at what you're having to learn. You're having to learn, do as I wilt is of the devil. If I want to get angry, if I want to give out to him, I'm taking over the place of God. And I wonder who taught you to do that. And the challenge this morning is it's time to let Jesus be Lord. You know how it works? Go to Acts 16. Very quickly, let's go through a few things here. Of course, an alarm would go off. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. I wanted you to see something. Some people take Jesus as Savior, but they're missing a key word. Small four-letter word. Yes, ma'am. Acts 16 and verse 30. Is that somebody's car that they need to go switch off? Who's got an alarm? I mean, it might be a visitor, but Acts 16, verse 30. And he brought them out, Paul and Silas, and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on Jesus Christ. Is that what they said? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that Philippian jailer, this guy who had authority over Paul and Silas, you know who is his Lord? Caesar. He worked for Rome. And Paul and Silas said, let Jesus be your Lord, didn't he? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And when you get under authority of Jesus Christ, your whole house will get saved. Amen. It's time to let Jesus be Lord. And you do that first, believe on him as Lord and not just Savior. We're too quick to take a genie attitude towards God. You know what I mean? Where we come and we say, God, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. But that's all I want. Every time you read in your Bible about people getting saved, do you know what word is there? Lord. What did the thief on the cross say? Lord, remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom. You know, in the New Bibles, in most of the New Bibles, I'll give you one guess, only one guess, what word is missing in the New Bibles. Only one guess. The word Lord. Because they'll make it so you can get saved just by believing in Jesus. The devils believe in Jesus. But Jesus is not their Lord. Are you with me? A lot of you believe in Jesus, but you have not made Jesus your Lord. I'm not saying you're not saved, but I'm saying you're a miserable Christian. Because you've only got half the equation. Believe on Him as Lord, not just Savior. Secondly, do seek to do His will. 2 Peter 1. Go to the right. Go to after Hebrews. 2 Peter in chapter 1 and verse 14. 2 Peter 1 and verse 14. And Peter is writing 2 Peter. It's the last, one of the last things he does. It's the last letter that he writes. He's in prison and he says this. 2 Peter 1 and verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. Do you know what he's referring to? His body. I'm going to put off my tent. I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. When did he show him? He showed him back there in John chapter 21. And he says, Peter, follow me. Oh, goody, where are we going? You're not going to like it. Remember that? People are going to take you where you don't want to go, and things are going to happen to you. You're not going to want that to happen, and just follow me. Peter gets upset and says, well, what's going to happen to John? And Jesus says, don't worry about him at all. Follow thou me. And now Peter's coming to that time. They're going to crucify him upside down. Things aren't going to go so well. And Peter says, the Lord is in charge. Wow. Seek to do His will. Make Him your Lord. Look at, I love this verse. Look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20. In verse 27. Jesus has risen from the dead. It's actually a week later. And Thomas was missing the first time because he was so discouraged, so depressed, so down. And the disciples told him, we've seen Jesus. He said, Jesus is dead. I saw him die. I saw him put him in the grave. He's dead. He said, unless I put my finger in the hole in his hand and my hand in his side, I will not believe. Now watch this. John chapter 20. What did I say? Verse 27? Yep, 27 and 28. Look what it says. Then said Jesus appears, verse 28:6. After 8 days again, his disciples were within the upper room and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. Aren't you glad he comes? The doors being shut and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then says he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger. I heard you, Thomas. And behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. And watch Thomas. Thomas answered and said unto him, the Lord and the God. No. What does he say? Now Jesus is to him, my Lord, my God. Too many of you. I mean, I watched it. I watched it. Some of you. You come and you worship my God. You read with me from my Bible. Are you with me? You pray to your parents' God, but He's not yours. He's not your Lord. He may be in charge of Pastor Craig's life, or He's trying to be. He may be in charge of Miss Nita's life. He may be in charge of several, but He's not in charge of your life. Thomas at that moment said, my Lord and my God. It became real to them. Make Him your Lord and serve Him. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, we'll look at just two or three more things and then we'll be done. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 5. For we preach not ourselves. Wow, that's so anti-pagan. You know, if I weren't saved, you know what I'd be preaching? Give so that I can have a better car. Put money on me so I can buy better clothes. Amen. We preach not ourselves, amen. But Christ Jesus, next two words, the Lord. They just don't preach Jesus Christ, they preach Christ Jesus, the Lord. And our servant, ourselves, we are your servants for Jesus' sake. I tell you what, It's time to start serving Jesus. You say, well, Pastor, you're always asking me to go soul winning. You're always asking me to come out and do this and to do that. I'm always asking, being told I have to serve. You're losing who you're serving. Serve him. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians, you're in 2 Corinthians, go to the right. Go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Again, this word keeps popping up, Jim. Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to Jesus. Is that what it says? As to the Lord and not unto men. Don't just take from Jesus. Is he there to answer your prayers, yes or no? He ever liveth to make intercession for them who come to him by faith. Amen. He's there to answer your prayer. Don't just be a taker. Be a servant. Amen. Folks, forgive when Jesus says forgive. Pray when you want to worry. Keep your mouth shut when he says quiet down and don't let him have it. Love and bless when you want to kill. Be in church when your body wants to sit on the couch. Read your Bible when your flesh wants to stay in bed. And then the last point, sacrifice everything to keep him in the lead. You're in Colossians, go back a few pages, go to Philippians 3 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 3, just a few pages back in verse 8. Yea, doubtless. Philippians 3, 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but a loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my... How come that word keeps popping? How come we never seen that before? Huh? It's in there. For the excellency of the knowledge, just knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, yea, and I do count them but a bucket of dung, that I may win him. Amen. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 10? He said, except I'm more important than father, mother, sister, brother, yea, your own life also, you cannot be my disciple. Will you let him be Lord? Sacrifice everything to keep him in the lead. Here's your conclusion. Who's Lord over us? It's a good question. Are your friends the ones who tell you, I'm on Facebook, I hate Facebook? Some of you, all you want to do is tell us about how you feel. It's free country, do what you want. I just get sick of hearing how you feel. Okay? I'm on Facebook because if anybody's going to be on Facebook, I think you need to be watched. You see what I put on there? I try to put scriptures on there, tell you what's going on in Bible Club. That's, amen. You want to put on there? You're having a good day, you're out digging a hole, you're out putting a roof on, you're out fixing the car, fine, amen, fine. But my point is this. When I'm watching everybody talk, you know what people are talking about? Their friends. Watching young people, young kids are sitting there talking, I can't live without my friends. Oh, my friends mean everything to me. That's what has happened this day. Where if their friends frown on them going to church, they're gone. When you head off to college, there's not one out of 1,000 of those guys up at, whether it's UC or wherever you go, Johan, not one of them is going to go, wow, Johan, you go to church, you read the King James Bible, you're great. They're going to frown on you and the pressure's going to be and you're going to have to value who is Lord over you. When you step into college, the pressure is on. And everyone you're going to look at, every one of them has read right over their forehead, do as I want. That's what they want. You have to make a decision. Are your friends your Lord or is Jesus your Lord? Your friends, your TV shows. I can't come to Sunday night. My favorite program's on. Burn the TV. Your pillow, that's your God. Your belly. If you didn't eat today, you know what you'd be like? You'd be like a royal grouch.
Don't bother me. I'm at church, but I don't want to be here. We didn't have any food in the fridge. And the shop wasn't open yet. I'm hungry.
Because your God is your belly. There are some people in the rest of the world who walk 5 miles to go to church. Some will walk 3 hours each way to go to church. And you're complaining. Your children... Your wife? Oh, yeah. Remember that guy? Jesus said, we're going to go do this. And he said, I cannot come. I have married a wife. She's the boss. Who is Lord over you? I didn't ask what church you go to. I don't care how many prayers you pray. It doesn't matter how much money you've given away to charity. The question is, who is in charge of your life? If you think you're your own boss, if you think you make up your own decisions, if you decide I read the Bible that I want to read, I go to the church that I want to go to, I do things that make me feel good, you are following the demon that infested Aleister Crowley. Amen? You know what it says there in Acts chapter 5? The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. When somebody gets saved, God puts them into a church. If not, I don't go to a church because I like it. I go to a church because I need it. Amen? Who is Lord over you? Satan, the Lord of too many lives. Amen? It's been real quiet today, I guess. I'm just not pleasing everybody, Jim. Maybe I need to read Carnegie. How to Win Friends and Influence People. Not on your life. Satan is Lord of too many lives. Jesus earned the right to be Lord of our life. All of my words, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's a good prayer to pray. He needs to be Lord of my plans and my will, of my worries and of my battles. It's time to let Jesus be Lord. Here's the challenge. Four things. One, I'll admit just how wicked we have been going our own way. You won't do it. You're going, I want to leave. I want to go home. Let me tell you, you've never experienced life until you surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. There was a day when I surrendered to the saving power of Jesus Christ. Pretty awesome power, amen? I'm asking you today to submit to His governing power. He knows what's best. Admit just how wicked you and I have been going our own way. Confess it as sin to God. And three are the thoughts if they're here. Yep. You need to humble yourselves to the people you've trampled on in search of your fulfillment. Every drunkard that we deal with, every heroin addict that we deal with in RU, you know one of the hardest things they'll ever do? Is go back to the people they've hurt and face to face say, I was responsible for hurting you. And you need to do it. And some of you, you may not be a heroin addict, but you've done just as much damage as they've done with your mouth, with your selfishness. Amen. The challenge is, who is Lord? If the Holy Spirit gripped your heart and says, yeah, so-and-so needs an apology, would you instantly obey? Why not just say how saved you are? Then I'd like to challenge you to humbly accept God's will for your life. You know, God's will is usually the opposite of what you want. Amen. And if you have a feeling to go and do something, and I feel like doing that, crucify that feeling and say, Lord, I will wait on Thee. Last challenge. I want you to live now, finding out what kind of life a Christian experiences. The life that a Christian experiences is beyond words, because it's a gift. The gift of God is, not will be, eternal life. I got the gift now. I just need to start living it. Amen? Let's stand this bond prayer.